book. And his Guru Maharaj's favorite book also, Chaitan Charitamrit. This is from the Madhya Leela, chapter 22. Text number 75. Sarva Mahaguna Gana Vaishnava Sarir, Sarva Mahaguna Gana Vaishnava Sarir, Krishna Bhakte Krishnere Guna Sakale Sanchare. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotee. I repeat, a Vaishnava is one. Definition of a Vaishnava. We should know who is a Vaishnava. So, Sri Prabhupada being the purest of the pure, the greatest Vaishnava who traveled on this earth. Srila Prabhupada is, Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotee. Now the question is, which are the good qualities that he is talking about here? Now this is none other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself teaching Sanatana Goswami. This is the most important part, or one of the most important parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world purely, again, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that he appears in this material world to re-establish the principles of religion and to remove adharma. These are the two basic reasons why God himself comes. He could have sent somebody else to do his work. But people are so fallen. We are all patita, as I said earlier. We're so fallen that we doubt everything of everybody. Therefore, the Master himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself has to appear. And he does appear from time to time to establish, and he makes sure that everybody understands. And he develops these leaders who actually continue to lead even after he disappears from this, or he leaves this world. Now here is the next one. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna. Now we are talking about a Vaishnava who has started developing all the good qualities, transcendental qualities, not just good qualities, transcendental good qualities of Krishna. And he gets now, as we will see, the ultimate goal of life being the pure love of God. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. You see, there are many people who manifest some sort of qualities for a short time, for a few days, few months, few hours. But the question is, year after year after year after year, right from the beginning of their life to the end of their life, as we will see now in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he consistently developed and manifested, not just he had it within him. Quality can be within also. But you have to also develop the manifestation of that quality. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no qualification, because he is engaged in mental concoction, in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Purport. This was spoken by Bhadrasarva and his followers who were offering prayers to Narsingha Bhagwan, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. All these transcendental qualities are the characteristics of pure Vaishnavas. We are coming to these 26 qualities. and they cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some of the important qualities. So the Vaishnava's transcendental qualities are so deep, so pure, that they cannot be explained easily. But Lord Chaitanya himself is telling Sanatana Goswami that I will try my best to explain them to you. Now here it goes. Kripalu akrata droha satya sarasama nidosha vandanaya mrudaya suchi atkinchana. I will go for the first group only at the moment. The translation is, devotees are always merciful. These are the 26 qualities. What are they? Devotees are always merciful. Second, humble. Third, truthful. Equal to all. Faultless. Magnanimous. Clean. Mild. They are without material possessions. And they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. Inebriated means they never drink alcohol. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. There is no purport to this. Of course, the next one is very important. Devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful. They are well-wishers of every living entity. Srila Prabhupada would always end his letters by saying, "You're ever well-wisher." In fact, I remember when I went to Vrindavan once, I think it was a few years ago, we were celebrating our ISKCON establishment, the 25th anniversary. And one of Prabhupada's senior most disciples, he explained, I'm just trying to remember, there were so many people on the stage, but one of the senior disciples said, the most important words Prabhupada wrote were, "You're ever well-wisher." Because that won the hearts of everyone. Nobody knew in America what is the meaning of this word, "You're ever well-wisher." "You're well-wisher," we can understand. But "ever well-wisher" means forever and ever. Yes, Sri Prabhupada is always our ever well-wisher. He never for a moment, now or in future, relaxes his position of being an ever well-wisher under any circumstances. I have seen devotees who had difficulties. He used to go out of his way to try and get them back on track. Any guru or any teacher would normally scold a disciple. "So many years I have taught you so many good things. You have done so much disciplining in the past. How is it that you did this nonsense?" But he never did that. If at all he got upset, he would, Shruti Kriti Prabhu, yeah, that's Shruti Kriti Prabhu, that's right. In his book also writes that. He would look at the devotee in such a way. I remember when I used to talk nonsense of Mayavad with him, he would look in such a way that you would feel as if the X-ray machine was going through you and your heart and your soul and everything. And everything is exposed. So he could expose you in front of yourself. It is said that death is like that. We must know what is death. Because all of us are going to face death sooner or later. At the time after death, we will all have to examine our position. What we have done in this world. What we could have done. But what we actually did is more important. And like a movie coming in front of you, you will see your own major performances, good and bad, coming forth. This itself is the recording from yourself only. And that itself is a judgment by Paramatma with yourself only. So you are your own best friend and you are your own worst enemy, as Srimad Bhagavatam states. You don't need an outside enemy. You got everything within. And we have to remove these enemies. So Prabhupada says, who are these six enemies? Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, Matsa. These six enemies are such that they have got, Radhanath Maharaj gives a very good example. Just like you, these children and the naughty children, they used to stick chewing gum on a chair so that if anybody sat on them, they would get, you know, stuck with that. And then it's very difficult to take it out. Very difficult. Similarly, these six things stick onto the soul so tightly, life after life after life. And we have not so far removed them. And we didn't know also how to remove them. It was only Srila Prabhupada who really taught us the basic principles of Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha. That's the first thing Lord Chaitanya says in his Sikshashtakam. You have to remove this dirt which has accumulated on our heart. And how do we do that? We do it by association of devotees. We do it by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age of quarrel and disturbance, where everything else can only add on to your problems, cannot subtract your problems. The only thing that can remove your problems, the ultimate problem, not temporary problems, is this chanting of the Maha Mantra seriously and consistently. If you chant for 55 and a half years, 16 rounds every day, non-stop, that's 3.5 crores. That's the number of rounds specified by Lord Brahma to Narad Muni in Kali Santara Upanishad. So it's a long time. So maybe we should chant more, not just 16 rounds. Prabhupada says minimum 16 rounds. He doesn't say chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada says you shall chant minimum 16 rounds a day. His Guru Maharaj used to consider anybody who chanted less than 64 rounds a day as fallen. So the disciples of Prabhupada, the new disciples were so new. They had just come from Malecha families, Yavana families. And they were saying, Prabhupada, we'll never be able to chant 64 rounds a day. So, you know, sort of forget it. Let's go. You know, this is American style. And Prabhupada said, no. All right. For you, 32 rounds. 32 rounds, Prabhupada. It was like a Herculean task. Lifting the Himalayas, it looked like. For them. So Prabhupada said, okay, minimum 16 rounds, not less. So he sort of, being a authorized acharya, authorized by whom? Authorized by Lord Chaitanya himself. Because what is the transcendental position of Srila Prabhupada? His constitutional position of Srila Prabhupada is explained in two places. It's very clear. Firstly, Lord Chaitanya himself says, when he was asked that how is it that in every town and village of this world your holy name will be chanted. It sounded absolutely impossible. Because this world is so big. In those days, 500 years ago, there were no aeroplanes. Right? There were none of these fast steamers. And none of these cars and trucks and all that. So how they will travel all over the world and chant the holy name of the Lord of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya himself said, don't worry, I am going to send my Senapati, Mora Senapati. Those were the exact words. That's the Lord himself saying that. Once in Prabhupada's one of his poems, as you might have read, when he was going from here to America for the first time on the ship. He writes in a Bengali poem, very beautiful poem, one of the most sweet poems he has written. When will the time come again, my dear Lord Krishna? He says, like a friend talking to a friend, you see. When will the time come again, my dear Lord Krishna, when we will frolic in the meadows of Vrindavan? Do you remember that? We will frolic. Frolic means playfully, you know, as children play, jump and shout at each other and jump on each other's back and all that. So his association with Prabhupada's association with Krishna is in the mood of not only a servant, but more so in the mood of a friend. And as they say, a real friend is indeed that friend who never lets you down. Isn't it? What is that English saying? Friend indeed? A friend in need is a friend indeed. And I tell you, we all need friends very badly today. We need true friends who can stand by us during any crisis we have. And crisis is bound to happen in this world. Why? Because Lord Krishna has defined this world as dukhalayam. Dukh ka alayam hai. Place of misery. Alayam. The warehouse. Warehouse is alayam. And it's a bandar. It's full of warehouses are full of goods. In English language they say goods. Goods means something valuable. Something you can sell and offer and use. Goods. But this is not goods. This is bads. Bads warehouse. Not goods warehouse. So this world is a... But we are in it. So Prabhupada used to say, let's make the best of a bad bargain. We bargain. You see, just like you go to a shop and you start bargaining. I remember I went to Kashmir the first time, Jammu Kashmir. And they told me, my father and some other people, senior people, that when you go to Kashmir, you must bargain. So I thought, bargain, how much I can bargain? Let me start by saying I want 25% discount. Then it occurred to me that 25 may be too less. Let me ask for 50% discount. Then it occurred to me 50% is too less. Let me ask for 75% discount. What can he do? At the most, he'll throw me out of his shop. So when we used to go to the shops in, I remember this was in the 60s, when Kashmir was not like today. And we used to do this, bargaining. And I used to take it as a type of pleasant pastime, you know. Just enjoy myself. Not that I wanted to buy that product. I just wanted to bargain. So Prabhupada says, make the best of a bad bargain. Now what is a bad bargain? What have we got into? What have we got ourselves into? We've got ourselves into a morass. The English word morass is most perfect. Morass is when you put your feet into something like, so just imagine there's a whole big pot of chewing gum and you put your foot into it. Firstly, it's so difficult to get you out. And even if you get it out, how do you get all that chewing gum out of your legs? In fact, that's the reason why in Singapore they ban chewing gum. Not one chewing gum stick you can get anywhere. Because somebody stuck this chewing gum in the railways. And the Prime Minister of Singapore came to know about it, Mr. Lee. And next day morning, there was a fatwa notification, Singapore government, that no chewing gum allowed in the whole country. So, Giriraj Swami used to tell me, Giriraj Maharaj fortunately is coming here, he is our Siksha Guru. He used to say that Prabhupada always used to detest this chewing gum and the habit these Americans had of chewing gum. Even when he was speaking, people were chewing the gum. So Prabhupada used to later on say, what are you doing? What is this? Like a cow, you are your mouth is going up and down. He couldn't understand what is happening. You know, then those people would, you know, they were actually uncultured at that time originally. Giriraj Maharaj was at least truthful, that's mentioned here. I'll come to that more detail now in a few minutes. Giriraj Maharaj was so truthful. He said, Prabhupada, we are chewing gum. Prabhupada couldn't understand. Chewing gum? How can you chew gum? Gum is in a bottle. It is meant for sticking paper. He says, no, this is another type of gum. It's a chewing gum. So Prabhupada said, show me. So he showed. He says, this is filthy. This is absolutely filthy. Throw it all away. And the devotees threw it away. And you see, those same devotees who would rebel, their whole motto was, Don't trust anyone above the age of 30. That was the first point. This is hippie type of people. But Prabhupada was 70 plus and yet more than double that 30 figure. And yet they fully trusted him. Whatever he said, they did just like that. In that respect, these American devotees, the first lot, were far, far superior to all of us. Because to give up things which they were so attached to, the American culture, the American way of life, and so on and so forth. Just to give it up, shave the heads, have shikha, wear dhoti and kurta. I mean, it was unimaginable that anybody could walk on the streets of New York with such strange clothes, you know. And that required guts also. So one of the first and most leading devotee, Satsarup Maharaj, wrote this beautiful book. Having in mind Srila Prabhupada, he came to my house, Satsarup Maharaj, for prasadam, many, many years ago. I think it was in the late 70s. And he was interviewing many people because, as you all remember, it is Satsarup Maharaj who wrote Prabhupada Lila Amrit. He was assigned that work by the GBC. And he was going around and asking so many questions to so many people. So he was in Bombay. So naturally we invited him over. So Satsarup Maharaj, I asked him, what quality of Srila Prabhupada do you love the most? See, when you love somebody, you love some quality of that person. You can't love a person who is qualityless. It's not possible. Just imagine. If there's a boy and a girl, so the boy will love that girl's eyes or some quality of the girl or something. The girl will like the boy's chivalriness or whatever it is. You know, some quality has to be there. Otherwise, there's how can you love a piece of stone, you know? There's no quality on a stone on the floor. So, Satsarup Maharaj replied that I love Prabhupada because of these 26 qualities. So then devotee said, would you not like to write a book on these 26 qualities of Prabhupada and elaborate in detail? At that time he was in a great mood of writing. You see, every person, writer, gets in a mood of doing things. And he was not... Like today, Satsarup Maharaj has many, many health problems. But he wrote this beautiful book. So with your kind permission, today being Prabhupada's appearance day, let me read out some very, very relevant parts of how to develop love for Krishna's pure devotee. By developing love for Krishna's pure devotee, you can develop love for Krishna. It's Prabhupada used to say, that in America is very often said, love my dog, love me. If you love my dog, then you can love me. Otherwise, no, admission. So, Prabhupada's beautiful qualities here, he has mentioned. He's comparing Prabhupada to Prahlad Maharaj. Satsarup Maharaj is comparing the greatness of Prahlad Maharaj. Describe devotional service as a ninefold process, beginning with chanting and hearing and remembering the Lord. Srila Prabhupada also had this quality. If you all remember, his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, said, I like this boy because he does not run away. He does not go away. He listens carefully. This was Prabhupada's greatest quality, according to his own Guru Maharaj. I mean, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj himself was a ray of Vishnu. Such a wonderful, great devotee. And he said that amongst all his disciples, and that's a fact, because that is how Prabhupada has fulfilled the mission of his Guru Maharaj, whereas others failed. He said that he just listens very, very carefully and absorbs everything. So Prahlad Maharaj says the most important thing is hearing in this age of Kali Yuga particularly. It's very difficult otherwise. Control the senses, which is very difficult. Even for yogis, as you know the famous story of, who was that? Vishwamitra. He could not control his senses. Such a great devotee, yogi. Comes very easily to devotees because he engages his senses in the service of Krishna. When you engage your senses in the service of Krishna, your senses get locked up. There is a situation in a computer where the program gets locked up, isn't it? And you just can't do anything with that particular section of the hard disk. It just gets locked up. Then you have to start with everything new, de novo. Similarly, what happens to a devotee who is fully dedicated in service of Lord Krishna, that he doesn't have to control his senses. It is Krishna then who controls his senses. And Krishna, Hindi mein bolte hain ki Krishna, Bhagwan ka jo pakad hai, wo bahut zordar hai. Krishna's grip is very, very tight. Once Krishna catches your feet, you think you would like to catch Krishna's lotus feet. What you can catch? How you can catch? What Krishna's feet are, you don't know. We don't know. But we should do it in such a nice way that Krishna will catch you. And then we can catch his feet, no? Just see the logic. If Krishna has caught you somewhere, that means he's not going to let you go. And therefore, it's very easy for us to catch him. Therefore, our senses then get fully engaged to Krishna. Because he has got hold of your bad senses. Nobody will like to touch your nonsense. Why should they touch your nonsense? Nonsense means doing all nonsense things. Ask your wife even whether she will tolerate. She may tolerate poor thing for a while. But after a while she says, I'm going to my mother's place. Because she'll say, I can't tolerate this madman anymore. So this is how it is. Only Krishna can help us. That is thoroughly, thoroughly understood by every devotee. That we cannot on our own solve our problems. We have to surrender to Krishna. In fact, that is Krishna's basic point in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha sami masocha. Krishna teaches the 20 steps of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is famous because of the knowledge. Because if you don't have knowledge, you can't proceed. So, the first stage, the BA level, as Prabhupada said, bachelor's degree, is the knowledge. That is in Bhagavad Gita. 20 qualities of knowledge. How steps you take to acquire knowledge. But very little is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita about these 26 qualities of a devotee. There is a mention, Advaishta Sarva Bhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirankara Samadukka Sukha Kshami Santushta Satatam Yogi Yathatma Drad Nishchaya Mayarpit Manor Buddhir Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya. 6 times in the whole Bhagavad Gita, 6 times Lord Krishna says, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya Yasmano Dvijate Loko Lokano Dvijate Chaya Harsha Marsha Bhayo Dvegai Muktoya Sachame Priya Anapeksha Suchirdaksha Udasino Gatavyata Sarvarambha Parityagi Yomad Bhaktasame Priya Yonarishati Nadveshti Nasauchati Na Kaushati Suba Suba Parityagi Yomad Bhaktasame Priya. Again, Samasatra Chomitrecha Tathamana Pamana Yoho Sitoshna Sukha Dukeshu Samasangarvi Varjita Tulya Ninda Stutir Moni Santustoyena Kena Chit Aniketa Stiramatir Bhaktiman Me Priyo Naraha Yetu Dharmya Amritam Idam Yathotam Paryupasate Shraddhadhana Mata Parma Bhaktasteva Tiva Me Priya. Only a devotee is very, very dear to Krishna. That's it. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains anything more. And he says, the most dear to him is only a devotee, bhakta. Not those who practice Patanjali yogas and, you know, all sorts of breathing exercises and putting one leg here, one leg there and all that stuff. That we see it on TV. But that is not going to make us dear to Krishna or dear Krishna to us. See, only Prabhupada has come on this world and explained how we can become the most beloved of Krishna. Automatically then you develop love of Krishna. It's very simple. I have seen in life, if somebody comes and gives you very good service, you see, morning he knows what you want. What we want? We want water. We want air. He has provided free plenty. Jitna chahiye utna lo. Take as much as you want, free of charge. There's no air meter, there's no water meter. You see, there is, but that the municipality has put, not him. He has provided the sun, the heat, the sunlight. Free. There is no sun meter. You see, there is an electric meter because it's BST. But sun meter is not there. So he has provided us so many things. And due to that, photosynthesis takes place. Due to photosynthesis, you get beautiful fruits, vegetables and grains. Of course, the cows then get beautiful grass. So here we come to the most important point. Then what is the point of Lord Chaitanya's describing the devotee's 26 qualities? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasize to Sanatana Goswami in this chapter these 26 qualities? Acharyas say like this, and Sarup Damodar, Sat Sarup Maharaj has explained. One reason is to show us the richness of the Vaishnava's character. Today in Kali Yuga, everybody is thinking of bank balance. And Economic Times will give the list. This fellow has got so many billion dollars. This fellow is so rich and so rich. But at the end of life, what happens? What happened to all his richness? Where did it go? Did he take his bank balance with him? Checkbook with him? No. That plastic card? No. Nothing. You see? But here, Lord Chaitanya is, Acharya has explained, one reason is to show us the richness of the Vaishnava's character. Because it is the character of the Vaishnava which has wealth. You see, the wealth is not in the pocket. The wealth is in the character. And the character goes with the soul. That is the important thing. When you die, the soul goes out of your body, and what goes with it? The consciousness. And what is in the consciousness? Your character. You see, the consciousness is not something characterless. It has character. If you have character that I'm aggressive, I want to be blood drinker, all right, then you get a tiger's body. Prabhupada used to give this example. Your character is developed now while you are alive. Your character is permanent. You remember this. Certain qualities of your character are temporary. Certain qualities of your character are permanent. So if you develop Krishna consciousness, then you develop the characters of Krishna. That is the important thing. And that is what is inside the consciousness, the content of the consciousness. That is stated here by the Acharyas. It is glorification of Vaishnava. Another reason is that we can see whether we are developing these qualities. This is the most important chapter. Because everything is by the yardstick or measurement. Somebody talks without measurement, we say he's a madman. You see, somebody supposing comes to your office and says, oh, I've got unlimited amount of money. And you don't believe him. You see, I'll invest unlimited amount of money in your company. I can't believe him. I'll say he's a madman. You see, if he says I can invest 1 crore or I can invest 2 crore rupees, I can understand that. Because unlimited money I have never seen. Only Krishna has seen. You see? Because he is unlimited. Therefore he has unlimited wealth.
We are limited.
Therefore, everything in our sphere is limited. So, why this is important is because we must know when we are developing Krishna consciousness, we must measure our Krishna consciousness. What is the use of saying, Prabhuji, I want to become Krishna conscious. I will come daily to the temple. I'll daily do this. But if your own soul and your own consciousness and your character is not developing and you are not able to measure it, how do you measure this? It'll come. Prabhupada has been so kind. He has been able to explain everything to us. He was the best teacher you could ever get. A best teacher is one who tolerates all the stupidness of all his students and still he has enough mercy, his compassion to stick with that student. Today, the problem is we pay so much money to our school children, going children, to the teachers. Huge amount is paid. You have no idea. People are paying thousands of rupees. I remember when I was young, we used to pay 30 rupees in a month to a teacher who would come home, poor thing, to teach 1 hour a day, every day, for 30 days. And we used to pay 30 rupees. Today, if you offer 30 rupees, that person will laugh. That's not enough for his traveling cost. You see? And that's what Prabhupada did. 42 rupees, that's all he had. No dollars. He had no dollars. 42 rupees and trunk full of 3 volumes. Bhagavatam, that's all he had. And his dhoti and kurta, what was that? Typewriter, was it? That old type of typewriter. Smith Corona came later on. But that old Remington type. I remember that. I've seen his typewriter, incidentally. Prabhupada's typewriter is there in Bombay with Kartika Madhavya's son. I offered him, I'll give you a computer. You give me your typewriter. Because the Prabhupada had used that typewriter. I had gone, with Maharaj, Radhanath Swami, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And he said, even if you give me a Boeing 707, I won't give you. 707 were the Boeings at that time. So, we have to measure our progress. How do we measure our progress? First and foremost, are you chanting your 16 rounds faithfully and with full consciousness? That is the first measurement. If you are not chanting your 16 rounds, you are not progressing in your Krishna consciousness. That's the most important thing. If you say, I did this and I did that and all other things, they're all right, secondary. The primary thing is what you promised your own Guru Maharaj at the time of your initiation. I shall chant minimum 16 rounds a day. If you are chanting faithfully and correctly, perfectly those 16 rounds, then the 4 regulative principles. If you are following those 4 regulative principles, then you are progressing. You see? Otherwise, you are a non-starter, as they say in business language. You are a non-starter. You are not even starting. Furthermore, for the advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. By hearing, hearing is another test. You see, there is a Gita building nearby, Gita building B. There is a doctor there, Dr. Anand Shah. He's got a testing laboratory for hearing. So if any of you have any problems, just go there. Because most important is hearing process. And he will give you a test certificate. How good is your hearing? He will make sure that he gives you various frequencies and timing and everything. And he'll give you a full chart. Just like there is a cardiology chart, for heart patients. You go to a hospital, they'll give a thermometer chart. Our Raghupati Prabhu was in hospital. So I asked the nurse, show me his chart. And she said, who are you? I said, here's my card. So she gave, in good faith. So I was seeing what is happening to our Raghupati Prabhu. And it was a miracle, absolute miracle. Here is a man, 34 years of age, 34 isn't it? Around? 34 years of age. He's sleeping here at 2 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly he's saying, Govinda, Govinda, and he's having a heart attack. They rush him to a hospital, one second hospital, because first hospital couldn't handle it. By the time he arrived in the second hospital, he has no blood pressure, zero blood pressure. He has no heartbeat. And for all practical purposes, he is D-A-A-D, dead. One Dr. Kuldip, who was there in the night shift, he had, I don't know why, this is really Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy on him. He just wouldn't give up. 45 minutes, he kept on massaging his heart and giving him 6 shocks. You know, they give shock, high voltage shocks, just to revive him, revive the heart, somehow or the other. Normally, I'm told by his colleagues that the rule in the hospital is try for 15 minutes, then forget about it. Declare the person dead, sign the death certificate. But 45 minutes, 3 times 15, he kept on and on and on and on. And somehow, a little bit of his hand moved. Those who were there, they told me, little bit of his hand. Where is Madan Prabhu? Who was there? Oh, he's not here. So, little bit of his finger move, I was told. And they thought, oh, there is still life in him. And then they started giving him all sorts of heparin and so many injections and so on and so forth. It was a miracle that he survived. Not only survived, he remembered everything. He recalled everything. We were worried. All of us were worried that his memory would be lost. His brain power would be lost. Kidney would be in trouble. But there was no pressure. Now, when there's no pressure, my own doctor treated both my doctors, Ashwin Mehta and Bhupen Gandhi. Bhupen Gandhi is the urologist. Ashwin Mehta is the cardiologist. They both said to me that we have never seen such a miracle in our life. Because they've handled, they are the senior most doctors. One is head of Bridge Candy Hospital Kidney Center. The other is head of Jastlok Hospital. Both said, we have never seen such a case. How this person is alive today and absolutely is walking around and moving and smiling and everything. And then I thought, let me entertain my friend. You were there? You were not there. So, because I found that laughter is the best medicine. Because the doctors had given up. It was Krishna who took charge and got his life back. But this goes to show that we can get up to 3 chances. It is stated in the Shastras that a pure devotee, he is a devotee. There is no doubt in my mind now. Otherwise, why should Krishna come there and help him when the doctors could not do anything? Nobody could do anything. It was really grace of Prabhupada. This is the thing which I want to tell you, that you can get up to 3 chances to live. I have exhausted 2, so I know. Prabhupada had the 3rd one. And then he told that no more chance possible for extension. He himself said that to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj and all the devotees were crying and begging, Prabhupada, in the past, many times you have nearly left us and come back again. Please ask Krishna again. He says, no chance anymore. Already had 3 chances. See, he was trying to establish by his own life that we must live by the principles of the Shastra. These politicians, all over the world of course, they have their own rules for themselves and other rules for others. You see, that's a difference. He lived the life of Shastra. He was the Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada is and still is the Mahabhagavat. Bhagavat book and Bhagavat person. So it's already 9 o'clock. So I'll just quickly now explain to you the last part which I had notes on. Kripalu, merciful. See, these 26 qualities, the first quality itself has taken me nearly 1 hour. The second quality will take another 1 hour. But I'll just hurriedly go through. If you have seen the US dollar note, there's a picture of George Washington on the $1 note, just like our Mahatma Gandhi, you know. So has picture on each note. So this chap, why his picture is there, you know? Anybody knows why? Not only he drove the British out, like Mahatma Gandhi did, but more important, when he was a young boy, he had cut a tree. And his father was very, very angry. There was a cherry tree in his father's garden. And he said, "Who cut my tree?" You know? And he was ready as if to cut that person also. But this George Washington went to the father. He was only 6, 7 years old, small boy. It was a small sapling tree. He says, "Father, I have done this." So his father appreciated. And today even in America say, "Oh, he's so truthful, such a sweet boy. He was absolutely unafraid what would be the consequences of speaking truth." But Prabhupada says, and the Bhagavatam says, that is only honesty. That is not truthfulness. Truthfulness is when you surrender to Krishna. Because Satyam Param Dhimahi is Krishna. Other things are not truthfulness. The purest of all is that. And therefore, Prabhupada is the most merciful because he showed us who is Krishna. He showed us Satyam Param Dhimahi. Only a Mahabhagavat can show you Bhagavat. And only a Bhagavat can tell you who is a Mahabhagavat. It's both ways. Bhagavat specifically says who is a Mahabhagavat, who is the person Bhagavat. And only a person who is a Bhagavat who can write as Prabhupada did so beautifully and explain every shloka of Bhagavat word by word up to 10.13, 10th canto, 13th chapter. But he was so sure that he will not be able to finish the Bhagavatam. He said that over and over again. He was so kind to us, so merciful to us, that he left that Bhagavat little translation which he was doing on the side, and he completed this Chaitanya Charitamrita because he knew nobody else would do this. That Sanskrit scholars and others would be able to, his own disciples will be able to carry on. But ye to kaun karega? This is old Bengali. Which devotee would be able to do Chaitanya Charitamrita? That is the real mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Mercy, not randomly, not like a madman. He was with great intelligence, mercy he was giving us. So mercy is something which you are all giving because you are all preaching to various friends. So please preach with a lot of intelligence and knowledge and with bhakti. In fact, time is running out and you are all very tired. I can see that from yesterday night. We went on, 12:30, 1 o'clock. So shall we end here? What do you think, Govind Prabhuji? Any questions or any comments? Because I had come prepared for 26 qualities. I have not been able to finish even 2 or 3. Maybe this evening we'll take up, when we are taking up Prabhupada's other qualities. So any questions or any comments? I was too tired to ask any questions, I think. Hare Krishna. I have now to go to Juhu because we have Prabhupada's function there. Thank you very much.